People learn to respect your boundaries. People learn to expect no's from you or straight answers from you. But if you say yes just to please them, you are setting yourself up for unrealistic expectations from people. And guess what? When they have unrealistic expectations, they're not realizing what your boundaries are because you're not setting them.
Welcome to Coach Me, the podcast for women who want more. More clarity, more confidence, more you. We're Tanu and Catherine, friends, working moms, businesswomen, and real life coaching buddies.
Each week, we cut the BS and bring you insights, tools, and truth bombs that help you show up stronger at work, at home, and in life. If we can coach each other through the chaos,
we can coach you too. Welcome back to Coach Me. This week, we're diving into a topic that is as uncomfortable as it is powerful: the courage to be disliked. Now, hear me out. Most of us, especially women, have been conditioned since childhood to be agreeable, to be nice, and to be liked. And we smile when we don't really feel like it. We say yes when every bone in our body screams no. And we bend ourselves into shapes that pleases everyone but us. And sure, being liked feels safe, but often it comes at a cost. Burnout, resentment, losing sight of who you really are, to name a few. That is why this conversation really matters to us, because learning how to stand in your truth, even if it means not everyone claps for you, is one of the bravest and most liberating shifts you can make. So if you've ever caught yourself saying yes out of guilt, if you've ever swallowed your opinion in a meeting, or if you've ever felt resentful for carrying the invisible load at home, this episode is for you. And I bet you know someone else who needs to hear this too. A friend, a colleague, or maybe your sister, your mom. Share this episode with them, because we all deserve the freedom that comes when we stop living for likes and start living in alignment with who we truly are.
Oh my God, you're so right, Kathy. It comes from deep conditioning in our childhood. It's from the authority figures around us, people that we consider as important, as all-knowing, and them setting these standards for us, how they want us to be accepted by them. I see this playing out for my 6-year-old already in her school. The other day she came home and she told me that a kid in her class has been making jokes about another kid's face, like that other kid has a puffy face, and this kid keeps comparing it with different objects like vegetables and fruit.
What?
Yeah, and she said she didn't like it, and she sees that the other kid gets upset and it hurts their feelings. So I asked her if she said anything to this kid about it, and she was like, no, but I don't laugh with him. I just didn't say anything. So obviously I ask her why, and she tells me that, Mom, whenever we are playing pretend, he's the one who decides the roles for everybody, and it depends on whoever he likes the most. So he really likes playing with me, and he gives me good roles all the time, the ones that I want. And then if he doesn't like someone, he tells everyone to not play with them. And I don't want to be that person on the team that everyone dislikes. So no one's going to pick me for any role, and I don't want to upset him. And I was like, okay, there you go. That's, you know, her getting conditioned to become a people pleaser. And it's not even that it's coming from a teacher or someone who's older to her. This is her peer. Someone she really cares about, someone's opinions, and someone has that power dynamic in the team setting where she is. So it's really about who holds that power over you and whether you do something to impress them, make them happy. That's where it starts. And as we grow up, we see this becoming like a conundrum of being liked versus being respected. So if you look at workplace, we think being agreeable will get us closer to our goals, especially if we have a really tough boss or a leader that likes to have his or her echo chamber around him or her. And we think that if we just give in to whatever their demands are and agree with whatever they're saying, it'll probably get us that promotion or whatever our goals are with our career. But the truth is that it takes us further away from our true self, right? So it's not just about the workplace or just like the playground for kids. It shows up in families, friendships, and even the way we show up online. Look at social media. And again, we are like grown-ass women and comparing ourselves, trying to make sure that one person in our group or in our circle who's so much active on social and everyone looks up to, the way we show up on social media, whether you realize it or not, you have that one person in your head. How will this person react if they see my post? Would she approve or would he approve or not? So it's like these little nuances that it shows up in so many different ways. And we end up trading authenticity of who we truly are for approval, thinking the safer path. But what's really going on in the background is that we're losing credibility because we're not being our authentic self. And it's hard to keep up and keep trying to work according to other people's standards. So it's like the cheese keeps on moving on you. And you also lose your energy and joy. And there's no end to chasing this people-pleasing behavior.
Absolutely. And because it is touching every area of our lives, like you said, it's not just playground or workplace kind of issue. This happens in families, friendships, relationships, everywhere. That's why we thought it's so relevant for our audiences. I think it's really important to also think about how much you actually like yourself and why you want to be liked by others so much. Because there are a lot of people out there who say, I have a lot of love for myself. I take good care of myself. But in their actions, they don't show that. They rush around, they're stressed, they snap at people around them, and they don't stand up for themselves. They don't respect themselves in front of others to defend their boundaries, their values, their opinions. They shrink. And those are missed acts of self-love, right? So if you love yourself truly, you will also live a more authentic life by default, because that is what self-love is, to stay true to yourself, to not betray yourself, to not cheat yourself, and to not give up on yourself in favor of other people's opinions. So I look at the courage of being disliked as an act of self-love, because I truly believe that we can love ourselves by drinking that green juice every freaking day, and we can love ourselves by doing that workout or dressing nicely or going on that expensive holiday or something. Those are all surely acts of self-love and showing ourselves that we value our free time or our bodies or whatever. But showing ourselves that we truly value our character, our opinions, and what we stand for, and dare to stand up for ourselves, I think that is one piece of self-love that a lot of people miss, where we overstep our own boundaries, right? Where we choose to be liked rather than liking ourselves in that moment.
That's so powerful. Such a powerful connection you made right there. And you know what it's bringing up for me? Mm-hmm. Self-acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have self-love without acceptance of who you are truly from the inside.
Yeah, embracing it.
Yeah. And for that, you need self-awareness first.
Yeah. So that should come first. There is this lovely quote I told you a few days ago from Dr. Thema Bryant, who's a psychologist and a pastor. And she said, when you're a people pleaser, basically, it's like standing on your own wings. This is such a powerful metaphor for me, because I can see myself like standing on my wings, not being able to take off, not being able to be free.
Yeah. Yeah, I can totally imagine it too. The weight of just getting in your own way.
Yeah, literally. Imagine you'd say to a people pleaser, stop standing on your own wings. I think it's so sweet as well. Like, I believe you can fly, but you're the one stopping yourself, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you're assuming the power they have already.
Yeah,
they have wings.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's something most of us, our audience, us included, are guilty of. And, you know, I've seen it with my clients time and time again, both in leadership roles, but also at home. You really have to be willing to say the hard things too. I think you said it earlier, you have to have that courage. And when you put it off, and we covered this in our week leadership episode as well, when you put off saying what you truly feel or what you really want or what you think you deserve, then you actually make the situation worse. People pleasing is like a short fix because you're uncomfortable with conflict, but putting it off makes it worse. And that conflict avoidance can create a toxic climate, because what do we do when we don't dare saying something to someone's face? We say it behind their backs. It's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't solve anything. So if we don't dare saying things, and if we say yes to someone to their face with a smile, and then behind their back we're like, oh my God, I don't want to do that. That actually carries that burden with you of not having resolved the situation when you had the chance to.
Yeah. Well, that's a lot to think about. And it's interesting when you brought up the point of self-love and self-acceptance. And now that you're talking about the consequences here, I can't help but think that there is some connection there with your gremlin too. At some point in the past, whether it's your childhood or some other situation where you showed your true authentic self and there was a consequence for it. You got reprimanded, or you got told no, or you got rejected in some form, right? And you hold that so dear to you throughout your life that you get into a habit of pleasing other people or saying yes or not having boundaries because you think that's the way to protect yourself from that situation of rejection. You know, it's a myth that if I say no, they won't like me. So this happened with one of my team members when I was managing a bigger team in one of my previous jobs. So she was new. She was eager to prove herself. So she came in. She's like taking on all these tasks. And everyone's like, wow, look at her. Such a superstar. Mm-hmm. We love that, right? It feeds us more to go out there and say yes to everything. So on the surface, it was looking like she's committed. She has her heart and soul into this. But then something happened and she dropped a very, very critical ball with a client. And obviously the client was furious. So that got escalated to me. And obviously I had to do a sit down conversation and see what really happened. So she admitted that she was really signing up for more than she could take. And she thought that she did it because if she said no, it would make her look like she's not a team player because she sees everyone else always helping out. That was the culture of the team. And there was another peer working on another client, similar kind of projects, and the projects were going on simultaneously. And that person, she had this perception of someone that says no a lot. So the salespeople would just constantly fight with her and then come to me and be like, oh, she's not taking this on. My client wants this. And this person, she was like, nope, sorry, that's a scope creep. I'm not going to take that on. So even though she was seen as this rigid person who says no, but her projects ran flawlessly and her clients were always happy. So that contrast that I noticed was such a wake-up call for me. The person that was saying yes to everything, sure, she looks like, oh, she's so agreeable, she's so nice, she's so sweet, she's never saying no, she's so easy to talk to, and the salespeople loved it, but only until the day she dropped that ball with the client. So the one that says no is the reliable one and is the one that they ended up respecting a lot more. So I reminded her, her no's meant that she was prioritizing quality and protecting client success. When she saw the example of this other person who did such a tremendous job, even though everyone was like, oh, she's always saying no. In the end, the one who risked being disliked was the one who earned the most respect.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not always going to be as simple and straightforward as that. But I think it's a really great example that when you protect your boundaries and you work in line with your authentic true self and your values and your credibility or the quality of work you want to deliver or whatever it is, then you will automatically have to say no.
If something's
got to give.
Yeah.
And in one colleague's example, her credibility had to give because she actually broke down and couldn't do it. And the other one, her reputation had to give for a bit, but it paid off because she got a really good outcome.
Yeah. People learn to respect your boundaries. People learn to expect no's from you or straight answers from you. But if you say yes just to please them, you are setting yourself up for the longest time for unrealistic expectations from people. And guess what? When they have unrealistic expectations, they're not realizing what your boundaries are because you're not setting them.
If there's someone in our audience now saying like, okay, I'm a people pleaser, I'm guilty, there are a couple of things you need to think about just for yourself before you actually step into any tools. It's really important to be clear on what your values are and how do you actually sabotage yourself. So what are those behaviors that you tend to do to please others? What is it what you do? Where do they come from? Like you said before, like often they come from childhood or from limiting beliefs. If I say no, my boss will not like me. Or if I say no to the other mom helping, they will not invite me next time. It's these limiting beliefs or stories that we tell ourselves. They often connect to our upbringing or to insecurities that we have. But it's really important. Whatever you do, you can't really step into fixing it until you are clear about what are my values and where am I sabotaging myself. So that's definitely the number one. If you want to fix your people-pleasing addiction.
Oh, yes.
And if you want to be learning to be disliked for the sake of yourself. Shall we step into some tools then?
Let's do it.
Cool. There is a tool that we wanted to bring to you today that's called the Boundary Reframe. And it's just a little rethink. When you say no to someone else, you say yes to yourself, actually. Just reframe that in your head. In the frame of self-love, you are saying no to someone else. Yes, that might be uncomfortable. But reframe that no to the other person as a yes to yourself in the name of self-love, self-preservation, self-respect, and it will come more easily.
Yeah, and you don't have to say no for the sake of saying no. I guess it takes a little bit of understanding also where energetically you're getting drained, right? So you have to look at where is it that I can cut corners a little bit to give myself some slack. And that does not mean that you have to end up burning bridges or relationships, but really finding the areas where you're overextending yourself and start with those areas first.
Totally. Then there is the likability audit, where you ask yourself, if I'm liked by everyone, where am I betraying myself? So you just audit a little bit. Is it right? Is it authentic? Is it truthful that everyone should like me? Or do I need to be liked by everyone? And where does it not feel good, actually? Where does it feel like I'm cheating on myself by trying to be liked by these people or that person? Maybe you don't need to be liked by everyone. Maybe it has no impact.
Yeah, getting comfortable with the thought that I'm not here to please everybody and knowing and really sitting in that confidently that it's okay. It's okay if they don't like me for this. It's okay if such a small thing that I'm doing to protect my boundary is going to tick them off. It's okay if it's going to cost me this friendship.
Totally.
At least I'm not betraying myself.
Exactly. The third tool is micro steps. So this is when you want to start practicing in real baby steps, where you just don't please, where you don't show agreeability in small moments. So for example, if someone makes a bad joke, practice not to laugh, like practice that poker face, or disagree politely. You don't have to be hardcore like no.
If it makes you so uncomfortable to say no or disagree with somebody, you just ask them to repeat it. Sometimes people have a very emotional reaction to things and they say stuff that you obviously don't agree with. And I have seen so many situations where there have been jokes that were okay to crack back in the day, but they're not appropriate anymore. And people getting so uncomfortable, but not enough to say, that wasn't nice.
Yeah.
So if something like that happens where someone says something to you that you don't agree with and you have a hard time saying something back to them, you just say, sorry, I didn't get that. Can you repeat that? Can you say that again? And that instantly puts the other person on a spot where it makes them rethink. Because
they wouldn't say that again.
Yeah. And they're like, oh yeah, no, I was just kidding. Yeah, maybe that wasn't appropriate. I shouldn't have said that.
You don't have to take them out of their misery. This is aimed at all the empaths out there. Like, I need to laugh at that joke because otherwise they will be uncomfortable. I need to respond to that email because they're waiting. Take that out of the equation. You don't have to behave a certain way because you assume someone else's emotions. That's not your responsibility. So learn to sit with that discomfort. Don't laugh at that bad joke. Don't respond to that email until morning. And don't dream about it all night or lie awake because of it. But like, let it go. Just let it be there. Cool. And the last one is self-coaching questions that you can journal on. Like the ones we said in the beginning, you should do upfront about your values and your self-sabotage. Here are some more journaling questions you can take away and just meditate over, whatever you like to do. Number one, what do I fear will happen if I'm disliked or if I don't respond to this email? What is the worst that could happen? What do I fear? The second one is, when have I been respected more after setting a boundary? And you will feel the difference.
Yeah, I like that.
You will feel it if you follow the tools 1, 2, and 3, or like even just one of them. You will have a really good answer to that because you will feel the difference when you put that space in between, when you change your predicted ways of reacting, you will see that you will get respected more after setting.
I like this one in particular because you're tricking your brain to find evidence of when you were respected. So our previous step was to test and see if there is really a consequence, right? And here you're actually, from your own experience, from your own past, you're finding evidence of when you were respected, when you set a boundary, and then bring that back and question yourself. So as you put it down on paper, when you're journaling and you see, oh, look, when I did that last time, I was actually respected. Why am I holding on to this limiting belief?
Totally. And the third question is, whose approval am I actually chasing? So in light of what you just said, the fear, what's the worst that could happen, then what actually happened? And the third, what do I want to happen? So it's really building up on each other. And I think it's simple yet eye-opening to journal on those things and to just start rewiring your brain and the frameworks, expectations, and the mindset you had so far about people pleasing, being an empath, being worried to be disliked.
Yeah, for me personally, when I get into that zone where something comes up and there's a point where I have the urge to take action that's a people-pleasing action, I notice the energy, the energetic reaction of my body. Oftentimes you'll notice that when someone asks you for a favor and your instant reaction is no, but then your brain, the people-pleasing part of your brain that has been trained to say yes, is going to override. But in your body, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel that fluttering in your heart, or, you know, your voice suddenly, or just losing your voice suddenly. And that is a way to identify that your body is in misalignment with what you're about to do. So your system's telling you, no, please say no. But you're overriding it with, no, you need to say yes because this person is so important or this might happen. And you're coming up with all these stories, which may or may not be true. So yeah, for me, energetic reaction of my body is one big clue that I rely on.
Definitely. I like that.
To recap, being liked is nice, but being true to yourself is super powerful. If you don't want to be in this endless hamster wheel of chasing being liked and pleasing other people, going further and further away from your own values, just know that this behavior is ultimately working against you and you are actually coming across as weak.
So go ahead, dare to be disliked. Your future self will thank you. And that's a wrap.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Coach Me. Got a question or something you want us to coach through? Slide into our DMs or drop us a message. We might feature it on the next episode.
And hey, don't forget to hit follow. Your future self will thank you. Just one more quick note. Everything we share here is based on our own experiences and coaching tools. It's not medical or mental health advice. So if you're struggling or need support, please reach out to a qualified professional. You've got this and we've got you. See you next time on Coach Me. That's it.